We bring on Bobby Perrin, who is the Scarlet Nation beat writer up there for the Scarlet Knights. How's it going, Bobby?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. What's the atmosphere like up there getting ready for this game, knowing that Rutgers came down to Arkansas last year and won, and I believe y'all are having a blackout this game?
Yeah, you know, they're expecting a sellout crowd. It's a pretty big game. I mean, you know, traditionally Rutgers doesn't welcome in the biggest opponents, you know, playing in the former Big East, now, you know, AAC. You know, it used to bringing in, you know, smaller-time opponents. So when they get a chance to bring in an SEC opponent, it's a pretty big deal up here. People are very excited. Big talk was whether or not starting quarterback Gary Noble will be able to go. He had a concussion last week. And, you know, that was kind of the talk in the beginning of the week. But he's been practicing, and looks like he's going to be a go. So there's a lot of buzz up here and a lot of excitement.
And the one thing I noticed was with former coach Greg Schiano, how he instilled some toughness with that Rutgers team. Is that still there? You know, does his I wouldn't say legacy because I don't know how long he's been there, but that feel when he left, do they still have that toughness? And as far as the back or the coach now, was he an assistant with Schiano?
Yeah, Kyle Flood's been under you know, along with Greg Schiano for I believe since 2005 now. Anyway, he's been, you know, he's followed a lot of Schiano's, you know, lead, so to speak. He's adapted some of the similar philosophies. But one thing that has changed is it was always a defensive-oriented team under Greg Schiano, and it always seemed like the offense was lacking. This year, the tables have kind of turned, and, you know, they're really relying more on their offense as opposed to that defense. You know, they graduated a lot of players last year. A lot of those guys are in the NFL now on the defense. So, they're kind of piecing it together. So I would say, you know, I don't know if it's say so much as toughness is different, but it's just a different dynamic on the team, being as though now it's more of a team that, hey, we're going to have to win by scoring points as opposed to letting our defense keep us in the game, you know, by having a 13-10, you know, kind of stalemate.
Now, Bobby, you have the number one rusher in the nation in Paul James. And in the past couple of games, how much has that offense led on? How much have they leaned on Gary Nova, and how much do you expect them to lean on him now, coming off the concussion and knowing you have the number one rusher in the nation?
Well, you know, last week they had to really lean on Paul James because when he Gary Nova threw four passes and then was on the sidelines, and they kind of just looked at James. Backup quarterback Chase Dye came in, and he was really ineffective. You could see a lot of rust on him. So last week they kind of relied upon him a lot, on Paul James, that is. And but this week, I mean, you know, the tremendous upgrade in opponents. You know, the last two games it was Eastern Michigan and Norfolk State. So they're going to be in for quite a battle. If Nova, you know, doesn't perform well, I don't see them having a chance to stay in it with Arkansas. He has to play well. And, you know, balancing out a little bit of the run game will help out both ends.
And how much did your backup quarterback play the first two games, if any?
How much what?
How much time did he see in the first two games before the injury in the third game?
He started 16 games. Gary Nova's freshman year, they kind of platooned back and forth. Nova only started five games. Chased out his 16 career starts. Then last year, he barely played. I think he got a few charity series, you know, throughout the season. But the first, the second game he played, you know, little series at the end. And then last game came in and played three-plus quarters. But really looked rusty. Put it this way, Gary Noble was 4-for-4 on the first drive against Eastern Michigan, and then Chase Dobb was 4-for-9 the rest of the game. So you could tell, you know, and everybody up here was kind of like, well, if Nova can't go, Rutgers doesn't have a chance against Arkansas. So there's, you know, been a positive vibe about him practicing this week and a lot more optimism for the fans heading into this game because of that.
Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat as far as with A.J. Derby. That's kind of been the talk around here. And I did want to ask you about the couple receivers, and I know that, you know, the passing game isn't just a big key, but last year it seemed like Gary Nova had a career day against Arkansas down here throwing the ball, and you got guys like, is it Leonte Caro?
Carew
and Brandon Coleman, but I look, Leonte has six catches but has three touchdowns with a 69-yarder. Is he the big play guy where maybe Coleman is your possession guy, or what do you look for with your receivers?
Well, Coleman is a big receiver. I mean, you look at him, he's 6'6". He's really put together well. But Coleman's had a problem making the big catches in the last couple of years. You look at him, he's, you know, just a freak when you look at him. But I think Leonte Carew is the best all-around receiver they have. Last year, he just played special teams. He was, you know, a very highly touted recruit coming out of North Jersey, Don Bosco, which, you know, that team won a national championship when he was there. First game, he was 5 catches, 135 yards, 3 touchdowns, and some of the catches he made were spectacular. In my opinion, watching training camp every day this summer, he was the MVP of the team. And the last couple weeks, they kind of put him on the back burner, so to speak. And I don't know if they're trying to hide him intentionally, but in my opinion, he's their best all-around receiver. Now, Coleman will get his catches. He's just such a big target, tough to defend. But Carew really makes some spectacular catches. You know, 6'1", really put together well, very fast, good hands, and he's a guy that the Arkansas defense is really going to have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, in preseason, you know, I think Arkansas was picked last by the writers in the SEC West. And where is Rutgers? Where do you think they are? Because after this Arkansas game, you got at SMU, and you think that, you know, that could be a victory. But then, you know, at Louisville and Houston, two of the better teams in your conference, where does Rutgers stand in that conference, and what are they looking for as far as making a bowl game this year?
I think they'll make a bowl game. Some of the teams on the schedule are really weak. You know, you have your Temple, your Houston, Connecticut, South Florida. So, I mean, they'll have a respectable record. But, you know, the big question is, can they push to compete for a league title? Now, it'll be a tremendous battle at Louisville on a Thursday night, coming off of 5 days rest against SMU playing on the road. The AAC really didn't do them any favors with the scheduling. A lot of people say that might have to do with the fact that they're leaving for the Big Ten next year.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's a matter of how well their defense comes together. You know, if that unit can gel, then they have a chance to, you know, push for that second, third spot. You know, everything would have to come together for them to upset Louisville. Stranger things have happened, but, you know, I think it's all on that defense, because the offense is going to be pretty respectable. It's going to score some points, but the defense in the home opener, you know, or excuse me, the season opener, 52 points against Fresno State. They just had their way with them. So many young guys, new defensive coordinator. It looks like he was kind of slow making adjustments, you know, the first few games. So how that unit goes will determine the course of the season for Rutgers, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know that this Arkansas team is not the same team from last year, where they were going to throw it around a lot. More disciplined team, and with Jonathan Williams and then the true freshman Alex Collins, should be I could see this game having probably, you know, 60 rush attempts between the two teams. What do you look for? I think this could be a dogfight as far as maybe a 24-21 game, not really the theatrics as last year.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happen. I mean, last year was a surprise even for a lot of fans up here, because that was kind of like Gary Nova's coming out party. I don't think anybody expected, you know, that 5-touchdown performance where I think, you know, just shy of 400 yards. But, you know, this year, it all comes down to Rutgers' defense, too. And they're better against the run than they've been against the past. You know, they had 3 new starters in the secondary, and that's been a problem since the start of the season. But it's going to be an exciting atmosphere. Rutgers will have an advantage with the home crowd. Now, how long will that last? You know, that could be determined by the play on the field. But I could definitely see a game being decided by, you know, 7 or less points, like you said, in the 20-point range somewhere.
And so what is the uniform situation? I know you're going to have a blackout. Is the team going to wear all black?
All black, yeah. And they actually put on the back of the jerseys, they don't put their names, they put family. It's kind of like their motto, mantra,
right,
whatever you want to call it. And so there won't be any individual names on the back of their jerseys when you see them play.
Is that a recruiting tool? And we talked about this in the first hour of the show. Or was it kind of predetermined that, hey, we have an Arkansas team coming up that is pretty much the same colors or close to that, okay, let's do something else. And for the younger recruits, and is it a big recruiting weekend for Rutgers up there, something for the younger guys to see?
Well, that's fairly decent recruiting weekend, but they have very few spots left with kids committing earlier. You know, there's I believe 24 commitments now.
Wow.
It might be one off or so, 24, 23. They're getting so many I can't even keep track. But you know, it's not a huge one, but the uniforms definitely play into the recruits. You know, they wore Rutgers already wore an alternative one. A couple weeks ago, they wore a white with a white helmet at home, which was a special edition one. So the black is a special edition one. These new uniforms just came in last year. It's basically a recruiting tool to cater to these kids because, you know, as you see around the country, teams are wearing different uniforms, different colors, different ensembles all the time. And Rutgers is trying to follow suit, you know, going into the Big Ten. They're trying to be, you know, hip, savvy, trendy, whatever you call it. And it's basically, you know, for the kids.
And going back to last week's game where they retired Eric LeGrand's number and a very emotional game, do you expect some of that same emotion to carry over to this game, knowing that, you know, he was a big part of the program and he has been, you know, since everything happened there. And I think they've been riding a wave of emotion, you know, every time they see him. And now they'll look up there and see his number every time they play a game.
Well, that always kind of has a presence there, but I think this game will be more about Rutgers-Arkansas and the fact that this is the biggest opponent coming to Piscataway this year. You know, next up behind them you would have Cincinnati, which, you know, kind of dims in comparison. So people are very excited for that SEC opponent. The stadium should be packed, and, you know, these guys know that over the course of the season they don't get to play many big-time opponents. You know, you have Temple's coming up and teams like that, South Florida, that don't really generate the buzz. So the sense of urgency will be there because for them this is going to be the biggest game of the season at home, even though it's not a conference opponent.
And, Bobby, before we let you go, do you care to make a prediction or would you like to talk about how you think this game is going to go?
You know, it really, with the way Rutgers has played up and down, and I, if I gave you a prediction, it wouldn't be 100%, you know, I wouldn't be 100% behind it because nothing would really surprise me. But gun to my head, I think Arkansas winds up pulling it out at the end. I just think the Rutgers defense, too many young guys, too many guys just getting acclimated to the position. And over the course of four quarters, I can see Arkansas just outlasting them and being just a little bit better because that defense is just so youthful and a new coordinator trying to make adjustments. Seems like during the course of the last couple of games, he's been slow making adjustments in game. And you know, Eastern Michigan moved the ball on them, only scored 10 points, but Arkansas is going to be a tremendous upgrade from them.
Well, Bobby, I'm sure our towers don't reach up there, so you don't have to worry about anybody hearing that, but you're welcome anytime back on the show, and we appreciate your time today.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.